Thessalonicenses.
Oh,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. परमहंस परिपाटिकाचार्य शेखर सर श्री श्रीमान भक्तिवेदांत गोस्वामी महाराज शिव प्रभुपाद की जय। स्वयं विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिपाटिकाचार्य स्तोत्र सर श्री श्रीमान शिव भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती ठाकुर महाराज शिव प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णववृंद की जय। ज्ञानाचार्य शिव प्रभुपाद की जय। ज्ञानाचार्य शिव हरिदास ठाकुर की जय। प्रेम से गौर श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद की जय। श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गौर गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंदर हर कुंड गिरि गोवर्धन की जय। श्री श्री गोवर्धन धाम की जय। श्री श्री गोवर्धन धाम की जय। श्री श्री गोवर्धन धाम की जय। श्यामद्वैत भक्तवृंद की जय। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज। 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 ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री श्री गुरु श्री गोवर्धन नारायण नमस्कृत नारायण नरोचम देवी सरस्वती चास्म तथो जायम धीराय नस्तापरेशु पजेशु भगवत सेवाय भगवती काम श्रोत्र भक्ति भगवती नाय स्थिति हरे कृष्ण। सो रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम सिक्स कैंटो ट्वेल्थ चैप्टर 19th वर्स। इंद्र उवाच
अहोदनं
सिदोसि अहोदनं सिदोसि यस्य ते मनिरिद्धिषि। मम सर्वात्मनात्मनां सुहृदं जगदीश्वरम् इन्द्र उवाच अहोदनं सिदोसि यस्य ते मतिरिद्धिषि। भक्त सर्वात्मनात्मनां सुहृदं जगदीश्वरम् इन्द्र उवाच अहोदनं सिदोसि यस्य ते मतिरिद्धिषि। यस्य ते मतिरिद्धिषि भक्त सर्वात्मनात्मानां सुहृदं जगदीश्वरम्। इन्द्रियवाच अहोदनं सिदोसि यस्य ते
Siddhaha, Siddhaha, Asi, You are now perfect.
You are now perfect.
Yesya.
Who's?
Te.
Your.
Matihi.
Consciousness.
Idrishi.
Such as this.
Bhaktaha.
The
great devotee.
Sarva
Atmana.
Without diversion.
Atmanam, to the super soul,
Suhridam,
the greatest friend,
Jagadishwaram,
to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Indra said, O great demon, I see by your discrimination and endurance in devotional service, despite your dangerous position, that you are a perfect devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Super Soul and friend of everyone. Indra said, repeat, Indra said,
Indra.
O great demon, I see by your discrimination,
and endurance in devotional service,
despite your dangerous position,
that you are a perfect devotee,
of the Supreme Personality of Godhead,
the Super Soul,
and friend of everyone,
purport
by Srila Prabhupada. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 6:22, Yam Labdva Chaparam Labam Manyate Narikam Tataha Yasminsito Nadukena Gurunapi Vichalyate. Establishing Krishna consciousness, one never departs from the truth. And upon gaining this, he thinks there is no greater gain. Being situated in such a position, one is never shaken, even in the midst of the greatest difficulty. An unalloyed devotee is never disturbed by any kind of trying circumstance. Indra was surprised to see that Vritrasura, undisturbed, was fixed in devotional service to the Lord. For such a mentality is impossible for a demon. However, by the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, anyone can become an exalted devotee. Striyo Vaisha Tathastudras Te Piyanti Param Gatim. An unalloyed devotee is sure to return home back to Godhead. Verse again by Srila Prabhupada. Indra said, O great demon, I see by your discrimination and endurance in devotional service, despite your dangerous position, that you are a perfect devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Super Soul and friend of everyone. Hey, Dave, do you want to put that device on? Oh, it's on the mic. Okay. Om Agyanati Manasarapam Namasakaya Chakrasim Tambhima Tasma Shikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangamanga Yate Giram Yakri Pataraham Vande Shigiri Vinatarane. Indra is recognizing that Vritrasura, in the guise of a demon, is actually a great devotee. From my recollection, Vritrasura was Chitraketu in his past life. And it's been said that in this age, particularly, the devotees and demons are sometimes born in the same families. It happened even in previous times when Prahlad Maharaj was born in a demon family. He was a great devotee. And when he was being taken away by the demigods, headed by Indra, they thought to kill the child after it was born, preserving the mother. The idea being that Indra and his cohorts thought that the child was going to be another demon in the line of Hiranyakashipu. But Narada Muni came along and informed them, from Indra and the other demigods, that this was actually a great devotee. So, trusting the advice of Narada Muni, Indra and the demigods circumambulated Kayadu, the mother of Prahlad Maharaj, and he was taken to. She was taken by Narada Muni to Narada Muni's ashram, and he was instructed all this devotional service about what he should do and who is his spiritual master And even when Prahlad Maharaj was offered any benediction he wanted, he said that I just want to remain in the service of your servant, Narada Muni. So he was, this is stresses the need for a spiritual master, that even someone who was instructed in the womb, and even someone who confronted Krishna, who saw Krishna directly in the Sringadeva, in the form of the Sringadeva, and was given a direct boon, or was offered a direct boon, he said that I just want to remain in the service of your servant. In other words, he wanted to continue taking instruction from Narada Muni. And even when Krishna was present and when Lord Chaitanya was present, they both had spiritual masters, even though they were the Supreme Personalities of Godhead, to instruct that everyone has to, according to Vedic philosophy, have a spiritual master. So Indra was very surprised to see that actually Vitra Sur was a very great devotee, even though he was suffering. This is an instruction for all devotees in conditions, and as mentioned in the purport, that yam labdabam chaparam labam manyate narikam tata, that even when one is faced with very difficult circumstances or difficult conditions, one is not perturbed and thinks that there is no greater gain. There's a picture of Vitrasura with one arm cut off in the Bhagavatam, and even in this very distressed condition, he was meditating on Krishna, and he was understood to be a great, very, very, very great devotee because he was undisturbed, even though these were very trying circumstances. Sometimes, I'm going to deviate a little bit and tell a bit of something of a story. I didn't hear it I wasn't there, but someone told me that this happened. There was a devotee in Los Angeles who was the number one book distributor. This is for everyone who distributes books can take refuge in this story. It's kind of a book distributor story. Anyway, this devotee was the biggest book distributor. He had all kinds of extra facilities. He had his own refrigerator. He really liked to eat. He was sort of like Bhima, and there was a darshan in Prabhupada's room, and this devotee asked Prabhupada, what pleases you the most? And he was thinking that Prabhupada would say, well, book distribution, because many people quote Prabhupada saying that it is book distribution that pleases him the most. And Prabhupada thought for some time, maybe about 30 seconds, and this devotee was just hoping that he was going to say, just continue to distribute my books, or that's distributing my books is what pleases me the most. And Prabhupada, according to the story, said, just try to learn to love Krishna. So in other words, he wasn't saying that there was any particular service that was better than any other particular service, but he was saying that if you can, for example, you could distribute lots of books and just do it for name and fame, or for getting your own good facilities like this devotee had. Of course, maybe he was also loving Krishna. But Prabhupada said that learning to love Krishna was the most important thing. That all these services that we do are so that we can learn the science of devotional service, which in essence is to love Krishna. It's not a matter of how much knowledge one has or how many verses one memorizes. That's all very good. But one has to love Krishna. That's the ultimate end that a devotee has to have. Another example that was that I heard Prabhupada say this in lecture was that it's very common for people to ask God for their daily sustenance. God, give us our daily bread. But a higher status is someone like Mother Yashoda, who is a pure devotee of Krishna, and she thought that if Krishna doesn't have his daily bread, if I don't give him his daily bread, he will die. So the example is there that the Vrajavasis didn't think of Krishna as the supreme giver of everything, yoda dadati vidadati kaman, but it's mentioned that he does supply everything. But they were interested in that aspect of Krishna. Their interest was in the person, the child, whoever it was, that was Krishna. Not that they worship Krishna with great awe and reverence, but they worship Krishna as their son. like Yashoda did. So the principal rasas are to worship Krishna as our son, our lover, our supplier, and the most in a sense they're all kind of equal, but in another sense the Madhurya rasa and the Vatsalya rasa that are the higher rasas, to see Krishna as one's child or to see Krishna as one's lover. Those are very interesting. And therefore it is said that of all the devotees, the Lord Chaitanya said this, that the method of worship, the greatest method of worship was that adopted by the gopis. That they had a love for Krishna that wasn't just a love for a young boy, for a young girl, or vice versa. It was something else. It was transcendental. So, and of all, and their gradations too, in their forms of love. And in one lecture, Prabhupada was saying that the reservoir of all this, or the supreme love, is that of Radharani, who is the epitome or the reservoir of all the love of Krishna, is embodied in this one person. So there are different gradations. Even in devotees, we find there are gradations. Some people love Krishna more than other people, and some love Krishna less. So these are just some of the things that people aspire for. They try to love Krishna, and they do it by, they do different services. Sometimes they're demonic, and sometimes they're not demonic. But as Prabhupada was saying in the purport, an unalloyed devotee is sure to return home, and that anyone, he says, by the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, anyone can become an exalted devotee. Sri Avaishas Tas Tudras Tepi Yanti Priyam Paramgatam. He's quoting Bhagavad Gita here. And the meaning of this is that anyone, in any condition of life, in any situation, can become a great devotee. Sometimes I would say that the person who is delivering your mail might become the guru of your child. It's possible. So preaching is a kind of thankless task. In a way, we may only see one out of a million or one out of many millions of people become true devotees of Krishna, but that's the thankless task of preaching. It's a very difficult thing. And Krishna consciousness may be very small, maybe in quantity, a very small and limited number of people. But at the same time, it's a very powerful force. Prabhupada used the example once of Karl Marx, who was thought to be a ne'er-do-well and a very alternative person with a beard and not very well-liked and very strange. And yet his philosophy was so profound, and his distribution of his books, the manifesto, the Communist Manifesto, was so powerful that several hundred millions of people followed his philosophy for nearly 70 years during the after 19, was it the Bolshevik Revolution was in 1917, I think. So that was a very powerful thing. So he likened his books to those of the books of Karl Marx. That it may be small, but it's very powerful. And, you know, we may not be very much adored or liked by people, but the books are very powerful, and they have their potency. So it, even though we may not see any immediate results, there are long-term results. And one time, they were described as time, books were described as time bombs. They may sit in someone's bookshelf or in a home for many years, and I've had experience where people have books that they carry around with them for years, and they sit in their homes or on the bookshelf for years, and they don't even open them and look at them. And finally, when they do, they think that they're very profound, they're very, very useful. And a lot of people can't get past the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita because they think it's just a list of difficult names to pronounce. Warriors, a list of warriors. In 1973, Prabhupada was lecturing on this chapter, the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita, and he was saying, and the ambassador of India to England was present at this lecture, and at one of the lectures, and he was in 1973 when he was visiting Bhaktivedanta Manor, Prabhupada was lecturing on this first chapter of Bhagavad Gita, and it was a time when the Kurus were assessing the strengths of the Pandavas. And they were naming all the different warriors, this one, that one came, and they were very surprised. This was before the blowing of the conch shells, which disheartened according to the Bhagavad Gita, which disheartened the Kuru dynasty when they heard the conchals of Arjuna and Krishna being blown. But they were assessing the strength of the Pandavas because unaware, they were joined by many kings and many armies joined the Pandavas. Duryodhana thought that the Pandavas were almost invincible because they were protected by Bhishma. So Prabhupada commented that his philosophical perspective on this chapter was that you always have to know what can go wrong. So the Kurus were assessing the strength of the Pandavas because they wanted to know what they were up against. They wanted to know what could go wrong, how they could possibly be defeated, because there were many great and very very powerful generals. And one of the examples he gave was that a business person is always thinking of his competitors. He's thinking that the business competitors will defeat me, they'll take all my money, they'll rise higher, and they'll get a bigger market share than I do. And those are the people he was saying are tend to be more successful because they're always aware of what can go wrong. And that's one of the things that Prabhupada gave us. He always said we should always think what can go wrong, not that we can lull ourselves into a false sense of security, so to speak, and think that everything is going all right. We're distributing lots of books, and we're opening lots of temples, and we're making lots of devotees that are coming, and we have many programs, and every year they're increasing, and we're building more temples, and so forth and so on. But at the same time, we're a very, very small number of people compared to the whole world population. And might is very strong, and because might is very strong, many things can go wrong. And not only is might very strong, but we have within ourselves seeds, very deeply buried usually, of sinful desires in seed form or bija form. But they may mature. And we've seen sometimes people that have been in Krishna consciousness for many years have these seeds of sinful desire rise up and they lose their Krishna consciousness. They go away. They desist from Krishna consciousness. And one thing that Prabhupada said is that we shouldn't be surprised at how many people leave Krishna consciousness. We should be surprised at how many people stay in Krishna consciousness. Not how many people leave Krishna consciousness should surprise us, but we should be surprised how many people remain in Krishna consciousness for many years, because it is a very difficult path. And another thing that makes it very difficult is something that Prabhupada has said, and it's also mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, that there's Naham Sarvasya Prabhupada, that there's a curtain of Maya surrounding Krishna. Krishna is not easily seen. Sometimes people ask, do you see God or can I see God? But Krishna is very difficult to see. And in Isha Upanishad, it is said that there is a glaring effulgence surrounding Krishna so that he can't be seen. And in the eighth canto, in the first chapter, the eighth chapter of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the prayers of Queen Kunti, it is said that Krishna is surrounded by a curtain of Maya, that he's not very easily seen. So, and it is also said in the Bhagavad Gita that out of thousands of people, only one can be Krishna conscious, and out of the thousands of Krishna conscious people, only one can know Krishna in truth, or can learn to love Krishna, as it was saying before. It's not an easy thing to do. So maybe I'll stop here and see if anyone has anything to say or any questions. It doesn't have to be necessarily about this verse. It can be about anything. Yes?
I'm Maharaj. I just got a question, not being initiated. I'm just wondering what would happen to my soul if I should leave this body, not being initiated?
Well, according to the book, it's in the eighth chapter, it says that according to one state of consciousness at the moment of death, that determines the next birth. So even without being initiated, one, according to the Bhagavad Gita, can attain the spiritual world. But at the same time, one is instructed to accept the spiritual master for guidance, proper guidance in Krishna consciousness, so that we don't go wrong. Yes. Also, I wanted to ask if anyone sees a silver pen that has a bit of foam, green and yellow foam on it, please let me know, because it's something that's gone missing. Anyways, any other comments or questions? Yes?
Maharaj, you were quoting the verse that out of many thousands amongst men, it's very rare to be a lover of God. And we noticed that with the great acharyas, they contend that they don't have a drop of love for God. So I think this can be, this is rather tricky, isn't it? What constitutes loving God? It's not just a feeling. Like you see people who maybe think they love God, but could that be on a sentimental platform? And isn't it really the actions and the service that constitutes, like actions speak louder than words. So this love is very, I'm just trying to understand this love and when it's genuine and profound and realized, like vigyan.
Yeah, Madhukini was saying that the love of God is it can be a kind of a platitude, and it can also be sentimental. Once I was in our temple, and a man came in and sat down and started crying. And he was apparently having some kind of realization of love of God. He was a strange. I'd never seen him before. He just wandered into this temple. This is in about 1967 or 68. And I had an audience with Prabhupada at that time, and I told him about this, and he was kind of dismissive about it. He made it sound like it was a bit sentimental. And after this man left, he put a few pennies into the box. And I described the whole situation to Srila Prabhupada, and I kind of started thinking, well, maybe, you know, he did love Krishna, but maybe it was sentimental. Maybe it was just a show. There's a term, crocodile tears. Have you ever heard that? Crocodile tears? Where people force themselves to cry, and it's all kind of sentimental. It's not the real thing. And as you were saying, sometimes great devotees like the great acharyas say that they don't have a drop of love of God, but they are great acharyas because of what they've done and what they've taught us and what they've written. They even though they say themselves, and they're convinced of it. I think Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati said he was just an animal who didn't have any love of God. But love of God can be proven by service, and it can also be proven by, one of the Shikshastram prayers that we recite every day, and we did this morning, is that I have to cry torrents of tears. And they can be false, and they can be real. I think it was Rupa Goswami, or somewhere in the Bhagavatam or in the Nectar Devotion, which is a summary of the 10th chapter, that hot tears are tears of grief and cold tears are tears of ecstasy. So there's different kinds of crying that are there. It's a very difficult thing to know the difference between sentimentality and genuine love of God. And one of the ways it can be seen is that there's a verse in the Bhagavad Gita that says, "One who sees me everywhere and everything in me, to him I am never lost, and I am never lost to him. To him I am never lost, and he is never lost to me." And it happens that with boys and girls, that especially young boys after young girls, and young girls after young boys, or they become obsessed with a particular person, when that person is missing, they see that person everywhere. And this is a sign of love of God, that even though we Krishna, we don't see him face to face, we have a sense of his presence everywhere. We may be looking at a rock or a building or a tree, but we see, instead of the tree, we see Krishna. So that's a sign of love of God, of a genuine love, not a sentimental love, but a genuine love of God. Does that help?
Yeah,
it's a very, as you were saying, it's a very tricky thing to know the difference between a sentiment and not sentiment. And generally the way that love of God is determined is, as you said, by service. The one who is working constantly, day and night, and serving Krishna, that is a very good sign. Whether it's distributing books or whatever it's doing, but it's day and night remembrance of Krishna. Because to serve constantly is a sign of love. Yes, I think that's the case. Any other comments or questions? Yes? Yeah, yes? No? Sometimes there's tapes of when Prabhupada was speaking, his voice would sort of trail off, and it would kind of choke into a gravelly sound. And this was kind of an ecstatic feeling that wasn't recorded as being a sentimental thing, but a form of love of God in which a person became sort of unable to speak properly. Yes?
Yeah, I was thinking that Prabhupada never displayed that, rather he would keep it to himself to some degree, but control it, rather than sometimes you find people who want to display symptoms of ecstasy and love, and that's of course a sentiment.
There was an instance that took place, and this is a real instance. It's not just a story. I was there. It's a story, but I was there. But there was a four or five people came from Bengal, and they were vowels. It's a pseudo-Vaishnava sect, one of the 13 pseudo-Vaishnava sects. I didn't know much about vowels at the time, but they were all from, and they all had black wavy hair and wore these saffron, this color, robes. And they were going to perform at the Fillmore Ballroom, headed by Bill Graham. And one of them was carrying a little poodle dog. And I thought that was a strange thing, because he wanted to come into the temple carrying this dog. But at the same time, I put aside the idea that dogs aren't allowed in the temple, because I thought, well, these are Vaishnavas of some stripe. And then when they left, and then we had a sort of fairly cordial conversation. Before they left, they gave us a couple of tickets to their performance at the ballroom, and they were sponsored by Albert Grossman. I think he was Bob Dylan's manager at the time. So we thought, well, you know, they can't be that bad. But then there was an incident that took place while they were still in San Francisco at a place called the Straight Theater. It used to be called the Hate Theater. It was changed to the Straight Theater. And this person, I don't remember his name, who was carrying the dog, he fell down, and there was a big kirtan in this hall put on by devotees, and he was kind of cavorting around and dancing, and then he fell down in a kind of a dandavat position, all, you know, arms and legs all spread eagled straight down on the floor, and the people that were in the hall, most of them were just, you know, kind of like, they didn't know what was going on, but they thought it was kind of a symptom of ecstasy, and they tried to get him to wake up or to regain consciousness or whatever, and he just laid there completely unmoving, and I thought he was kind of faking. Oh, now I remember his name was Fakir, F-A-K-I-R, which is kind of like what I think we get the word faker from. Anyway, there was a darshan the next morning in Prabhupada's room, and so many devotees were kind of taken with this. They thought he was some kind of an incarnation or some form of Lord Chaitanya, something real from Bengal. But I kind of thought that he was a faking. So I described the whole thing to Prabhupada as much as I could, the kirtan that took place before and his dancing around and his falling down afterwards. And then Prabhupada said, and you should have said, my dear Chaitanya, and then kick him in the face. And then I thought, well, I was kind of like, I'm exonerated or something from my very envious attitude. But I think he was faking. But that's an example of being sentimental. I mean, in an extreme way. But there are people in that part of the world, who are expert kirtaniers and so on and so forth. And they're just not really. They don't have any real love of God. They're just faking. But they sing so melodiously, and they dance and then they sometimes they cry, and so they look like the real thing. It's a very tricky situation.
They're really only chasing themselves, aren't they?
Pardon?
They're only chasing themselves if they're doing that.
Yeah. So, anything else? Any other comments? Any questions or anything? Okay, we'll probably stop there. Hare Krishna, thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.